done. Good morning, Walloon Lake Community Church. How are you? It's good to see you. Last Sunday, I was privileged to be at the East Jordan campus. Week before that, the Alanson campus. So I've completed the circuit today at the Walloon campus. Special thanks, I mean this, to Pastor Brandt for leading the charge with our Shameless series. That was bold and courageous and well done. Well done, my friend, well done. Today, we're going to talk about what I think is an epidemic today in 2025. We're facing an epidemic of fear and worry. Lots going on. Anxiety, stress levels are at all-time highs. We've got wars and pandemics and mass shootings and cancer and just something as simple, Myron, as going to the grocery store and watching prices go up and up, and utilities and healthcare and political instability and polarization and cyber terrorism and terrorist attacks, and you go, wow, there's a lot to be fearful of. There's a lot of things to be anxious about. Quick definition of fear: a painful apprehension of evil and danger. A painful apprehension of evil and danger. Now, here's the problem with fear and worry, okay? It's foolish because it concerns that which isn't. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're worrying about something that's a what if, or a could be, or it's a possibility, or we're speculating on something that might or might not ever happen. And as long as we dwell on the worst case scenario, we kind of guarantee our own misery, because our brains are just going to go on overload. No amount of worrying affects the issue that we're stressing about one iota. No amount of worry, no amount of fear is actually going to change what's going to happen one iota. And here's what you need to know. Worry and fear are never from Jesus. Did you know that? Never. How do you know that, Pastor Jeff? Here's what 2 Timothy 1:7 says. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. He's given us a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. That's the spirit that Jesus has given us. So anytime you're feeling worry and fear, you can know one thing: that's not from Jesus, okay? The worrier attempts to live in the future, but the future isn't here yet, and the future is unknown, and the future is uncontrollable, and therefore really irrelevant to our peace of mind. Really, it is. This morning, I kind of had a blank slate. I love it when it's like, pick your own. You don't have to follow a series. Pick whatever passage you want to pick to speak and preach about. And I love that. So today, I'm going to pick my very favorite psalm. We're going to be in Psalm 27. So if you have your Bibles on your phone, it's a psalm written by King David. Just want you to know, King David experienced lots of things that we would say, well, that would be fearful. That's not good, what he had to deal with. Things like 1 Samuel 17:34 tells us that when David was a young teen, he was out watching the sheep, and lions and bears were something that he had to deal with. Okay? So lions and bears as a young shepherd, as a 17-year-old, you probably know this story, David faced down who? Goliath, the massive warrior from the Philistine army, And he took him on. No one else would. Everyone else was shaking. David twice, two times, dodged the spear of King Saul. King Saul was kind of out of his head, kept getting in fits of jealousy and rage, and he threw his spear twice, trying to kill David. And then, for years, David, the second time, got the message, and he ran away, and now, for years, David lived on the run in caves, and he hid out in foreign countries. Why? Saul wanted him dead. He wanted him dead. And then, sadly, David lived on the run when his own son, Absalom, stole his throne, and then Absalom chased him around. Again, probably some of those same caves that he hid in from Saul. Now his own son is trying to assassinate his father, King David. David knew the fear of having his children from different mothers. That was his first problem. But children from different mothers were at war with one another, okay? His own son raped his half-sister. And then in anger, another son killed his brother who had raped his sister. Do you understand? David knew the worry and the fear of family turmoil and awfulness. If anybody in history knew about facing fear and worry, I'm convinced it's King David. He faced more than most of us could ever imagine. So, again, we're in Psalm 27. We're going to look at King David, and he teaches us a lot here today about worry and fear. If you're able, would you stand with me? We're going to read. I think we decided Destiny verses 1 to 6. Is that what we decided? Hold up your hand if that's what you got. She says yes. Here we go. Verses 1 to 6. Here we go. Read with me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. For He will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in His sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At His sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Let's pray. Lord, would You help us today? Help us to listen closely to what You and Your Spirit have to say about Psalm 27. I want to pray specifically, Lord, for those who are here in person, for those who are watching online, Lord, who are in a fearful, anxious time in their life, and I suspect there are several. Might Your Spirit and Your Word bring wisdom and strength and peace and encouragement this morning. Might today be a day of victory over fear and worry. Speak, Lord. Your church, your children, we're listening. We're ready to hear from You. And all the church family gathered at Walloon Lake said with one united voice, amen. You can be seated. I love the fact that David doesn't begin this psalm by counting his fears and worries. Now we're going to get into it. There were things for him to fear and worry, but that's not how he begins the psalm, okay? He's proclaiming his faith and trust in the Lord his God. That's how he comes out right out of the gate. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? Isn't that good? Right out of the gate. How do you know when a bad thunderstorm is coming? Okay? If you didn't have your weather app on your phone, how do you know a bad storm is coming? You look up and you see the dark clouds, and they're gathering, and they're coming your way, and you go, uh-oh, we're going to get a storm. Some of us here today are right now in the middle of one of life's storms, okay? As soon as David realized the storm clouds were gathering, the seas were getting rough, fear begins to rise up, here's what David does. He declares with his mouth, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Okay? Right out of the gate, the presence of fear and trouble and potential worry prompts David to confess with his mouth the key truth of his life. Okay? Here's what it is. The Lord Jesus is the light of my life. The Lord Jesus is the source of my salvation. The Lord Jesus is the strength and the stronghold I run to. Whenever fear, whenever worry pops up on my radar, I'm going to declare, "Lord, it's you I'm turning to right now." Now, since King Jesus is still on the throne of the universe today, amen, right? He was during David's day, he is today. We confess out loud with our mouth, "Jesus, you are our light, you are our salvation, you're our fortress." Verse 2, whom should we fear? Whom should we fear? Answer, of whom should we be afraid if our King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the cosmos is on the throne? Whom should we fear? September 7, 2025, okay? Here's the key. You might want to write this down. We'll put it up here on the screen. But the time to learn to know and trust the Lord Jesus is when the seas of your life are calm and fairly smooth, okay? That's the time to learn this. When the evil people come after us, so that when our enemies and our foes attack us, last part of verse 2, so when a mighty army surrounds us, verse 3, can I note, not if, but when, then, last part of verse 3, then my heart will not be afraid, okay? We can remain confident. Why? My confidence in the midst of danger and evil and enemies is what? Look at me. Jesus is my fortress. That's where my confidence. Jesus is the one I turn to immediately. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is protecting you and me from danger. Therefore, I don't need to tremble and shake and worry. But we have to know what to do when scary times come before the storm hits. Shall I say that again? You gotta know what to do when storms come our way, when the tornado's about to touch down on your life. You need to know that before you get attacked and surrounded, okay? It's like this, okay? Listen close. The time to put snow tires on your car is before the first blizzard hits northern Michigan the end of October. That's happened twice to Denise and I, okay? Oh, it's just October. It's just October. We'll get them on sometime November. Before the blizzard hits, the time to fix the leak in your boat, Jim, is before you're halfway out to Beaver Island. You deal with the leak before the leak springs. The time to take karate lessons, Hannah Bears, is a couple years before the mugger beats you up and steals your wallet or your purse. You understand? Okay? The time for you to know with certainty and believe, the time for you to practice declaring with your mouth, Jesus is the Lord of my life. He's the light of my life, the source of my salvation. Jesus is my fortress. Jesus is protecting me from danger is before trouble knocks your door down. You got to get that going before, okay? The stronghold of fear and worry begins to fall and unravel when we instantly focus our attention. God's power. Jesus is faithful and he's alive in my life, okay? King David, look at with it, his faith, his trust in the Lord his God started before he talks about worry, before he talks about fear, before he talks about enemies. If God is for us, here's what Romans 8:31 says. If God is for us, how do you answer that? Who could be against us? Yeah, you got to get that going in your brain. We need to start practicing on the small storms, the smaller stuff, our small enemies, difficult, all practice up. Then when we're ready to go, Jesus, you're our light, you're our salvation, before the hurricane hits and comes down upon us, before the eye surgeries, before the triple bypass. You understand? You got to get that going ahead of time, and then when tough times come, then you're ready. Next, okay, verse 4, we're going to see David deal with fear and worry. But he's going to say, I'm going to keep one critical thing. I'm going to keep the main thing, the main thing. Here's what he says, verse 4. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections, meditating in his temple, for he'll conceal me there when troubles come. He'll hide me in his sanctuary. He'll place me out of reach on a high rock. Verse 6, then I'll hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I'll offer sacrifices with shouts of praise, singing and praising the Lord with music. I love it. I love it. What mattered most to David above all else? Catch this. Look at me. The one thing that mattered the most of David, he wanted to live daily in the presence of the Lord. That mattered more than anything. David's single-minded focus, his main thing in life, was to stay close to Christ. Did you catch it? Stay close to Jesus. Abide with Jesus. Walk and stay with Jesus all the days of his life. When David was daily staying close to the Lord, verse 5, when Jesus was his sanctuary, his shelter, his rock, David experienced the protecting presence and grace of Christ. It's like Isaiah 41:10. Put that up, Destiny, if you have it. Don't be afraid. Here's what Isaiah reminds us. For I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Have you ever heard the saying, it's not what you know that matters, it's what? Who you know that matters. Can I tell you that's true for us as followers of Jesus, Myron? No? Do you know Jesus well? Are you walking daily with the King of the universe? So that, look at verse 6, when we choose to daily stay close to Christ, even though we're surrounded by enemies, we can hold our head high. We can shout with joy. We can sing with joy to the Lord, even when the circumstances are scary and dangerous. Why? Because I know Jesus, and he knows me. It's not what I know, it's who I know that matters. I know Jesus, And he knows me, and I'm going to get through this because Jesus is the one walking with me. Okay, quick review. Verses 1 to 3, David teaches us, profess with your mouth your faith in the Lord before the fearful times come. Second, verses 4 to 6, David models a life that's devoted to daily walking with Jesus, abiding, staying connected, living in his presence. Now verses 7 to 9, David shows us it's okay to cry out to the Lord. It's okay to cry out. When you're in the middle of a crisis, storm is really bad, David wants to make certain that he and the Lord are good. Okay? Verse 7, here we go. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you. Come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Verse 9, do not turn your back on me. Don't reject your servant in anger. You've always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation, even if my father and mother abandon me. The Lord will hold me close. When the shiver of fear and worry hits us like a thud, David wants to make certain, hey, Lord, you and me, we're on the same page, right? Okay? Meaning, David wants to make sure there's no sin between him and the Lord his God. He wants to make sure he's clean. Because sin, track with me here, sin erects a barrier, a wall between us and Jesus. We build the barrier, we erect the wall by sinning. And how do we remove that wall? You ready? We do the U-turn, we repent, and we confess. We call it what the Lord calls it. He calls it sin. He calls it sin too. That tears down that barrier, that wall. In his hour of need, David wants to make certain there's nothing, no sin, no crud, preventing fellowship between Jesus and him. Verse 10, look at it. Even if family abandons me, Jesus, I need you. I'm not okay without staying connected to you. So why did we talk the last three Sundays about sin and addictions? Why? Because unconfessed sin breaks our fellowship with Jesus. Unconfessed sin leaves us alone and empty and afraid and living in shackles, okay? And it's only when we confess and repent and live in community that suddenly now we break free. Now, David is going to ask for guidance and protection. Verse 11, read with me. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Verse 12, don't let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Humbly, David asked the Lord, Lord, I need your help. I need you to teach and guide me. Help me during this time of trouble. Now, here's what's amazing to me. We're so quick when trouble comes our way, when pain and storms and difficulties smash against our lives, how quickly we go into let's figure this out mode. I'm going to call the doctor. I'm going to call the principal. I'm going to call the lawyer. I'm going to call Pastor Brandt. I'm going to call on the Google. I'm going to call on ChatGPT. I'm going to call the expert. How quick we are to call somebody who knows something instead of running to the Lord and asking, Lord, would you show me your mind? Lord, would you show me your plan? How do you want me to deal with this fear and anxiety? Verse 12, note, David says, the only way I'm going to defeat my foes, the only way I'm going to stand up to their false, lying ways, is, if you, Jesus, show me the path you have for me. You're the one I turn to first, okay? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. What does this say? Say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding in all your ways. And what is he going to do? He's going to direct your path. Yeah. And my favorite two verses and my favorite psalm close this amazing passage. Verse 13, here we go. David says, yet I'm confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Jesus, I'm confident you've heard and are listening to my heart's cries. I've been crying out to you. I've seen some fearful and anxious things going on around me. And Lord, you're not going to answer my prayers when I'm dead and gone. You're not going to answer my prayers when I'm in the new heaven and the new earth. Jesus, I believe I'm going to see your goodness. Catch what he says, verse 13. I'm going to see your goodness at work in me while I'm still alive, while I'm still breathing, while I'm still waiting for you to work. I believe I'm going to see your hand at work in my life. That's good thinking right there. Okay, verse 14. So what do you do in the meantime? While you're waiting for the Lord to come and work, okay? Here's his final thoughts. What should I do while I wait for King Jesus to work and act? What should we do while we wait for the storm to pass? You ready? Here's what he says, verse 14. Wait patiently for the Lord. Wait patiently for the Lord. The Hebrew word for waiting means to entrench. Lord, I'm digging myself into you. Jesus, I'm holding tight. Destiny, put that picture up of the baby kangaroo, okay? It's like a baby kangaroo, a little Joey, snuggling down in its mama's pocket, its mama's pouch. Jesus, I'm living and waiting and entrenched and snuggling up next to you. That is what he says. While you're waiting for due time to come for the Lord to answer, I'm just going to snuggle right up next to you. Now, why is waiting on the Lord a strategy? Isaiah 40, verse 31. Here's why. But those who trust and wait on the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Okay. What I want you to note, verse 14 is a Bible sandwich. How many of you like sandwiches? How many of you really like sandwiches? Okay. Yeah. Okay. What I mean by that is you got two slices of bread, wait patiently for the Lord. And then he closes, yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And then you got the meat in the middle, okay? You've got the meat of what he wants. The peanut butter and jelly is be brave and courageous, okay? Be brave. Our God, King Jesus, has never failed us, and he never will. And in the meantime, hold on tight to Jesus. Entrench yourself. Wait patiently for the storm to pass, because our God is never late and our God is seldom early. Okay? And here's the truth. Put this up on the slide. I'm convinced some of the best work that Jesus does is accomplished in God's waiting room. He does some of his best work while we're holding on tight and we're waiting for the storm to pass. That's a good time to grow in your faith and your trust. So, what are you afraid of this morning? What do you fear? What's making you feel anxious and overwhelmed? Do you feel alone and unloved? Here's what Zephaniah 3:17 says. For the Lord your God is living among you. He's a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he'll calm all your fears. He'll rejoice over you with joyful songs. Are you worried about money or loss of income? Here's what Philippians 4:19 says. And the same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Do you fear death and dying? Are you afraid of that? Here's what Jesus told Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Isn't that good? Yeah. Are you afraid of Satan and his demons? Romans 16, verse 20, here's what it says. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Are you in a time of trouble? Storms of life attacking you and your family, smashing with fear and anxiety? Psalm 27, just looked at it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? Verse 14, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave, be courageous, yes. Wait patiently for the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of Psalm 27. Thank you for inspiring David to write these words down for us. Lord, we need them for days of trouble, days that are fearful and anxious. And as we close this morning, I'd like to pray for anybody here right now in your in person or maybe watching online, and you're right now in the middle of a tough storm. Love to pray with you, pray for you. If you're watching online, hit that prayer button. If you're here today, would you like me just to pray for you? That's it. I'm going to pray. No charge. Just pray for you. Anybody say, pray for me. I'm in the middle of one of those storms. Yep. See, I see some hands. Yeah. Anybody else? I'm in the middle of a storm. Yeah. Lots of you today. Lord, I want to pray for my friends here watching online. I pray for confidence and trust in you for each of these, my friends. Might they learn to run and cry out and seek your wisdom. Lord, help them to dig into you and entrench themselves as they wait for the storm to pass. Show them clearly, Lord, if there's any sin that needs repenting of and confessing. Might they sense you, the Good Shepherd, are right there at their side as they walk through this challenging time. Help them to learn to wait on you and be strong and courageous. And finally, you might be here today watching. We aim this message at followers of Jesus, but it's possible you're here and you've never said yes to Jesus. You never said, Jesus, I do, I believe. Here's what you need to know. Jesus took your place on the cross. Jesus shed his blood for all your sins, past, present, future. Jesus took your place in the tomb early Sunday morning, and he arose victoriously from the dead for you and for me. Have you believed those facts by faith for you? Have you received and welcomed Jesus into your life? You can do that right now, today. And if you make that decision, make your way over to the prayer corner. They'd love to celebrate with you and get you going in your journey with Jesus. Online, hit that prayer button. We'll do the same with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so good to us. You're our light. You are our salvation. You're our fortress. And we love you. You're with us every single day. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things.